conecta un backup. Are you ready? Go back to history, 1936, end of that year, December 21st, 1936. The radio is always playing in the afternoon, so I feel the loss of silence. So many times you just listen all the time to the music. Do you know you do that? Listen. She said to have no silence, even music, can't keep her towards the Lord. All morning long, there is a ceaseless talk and noise. You know, in the hospital, it's like that, always. My God, I was looking forward to being in silence, happy that I should be talking only with the Lord. And here, it is just the opposite. Yet, nothing disturbs me now, neither the talking nor the radio. In a word, nothing. By the grace of God, when I'm praying, I do not even know where I am. I know only that my soul is united with the Lord, and thus I pass my days in this hospital. Can we do that? Even their noises, the heart is more important. The silence of heart. I marvel at how many humiliations and sufferings that priest accepts in this whole matter. I see this at particular times, and I support him with my unworthy prayers. Only God can give one such courage. Otherwise, one would give up. But I see with joy that all these adversities contribute to God's greater glory. The Lord has few such souls. O infinite eternity, you will make manifest the efforts of the heroic souls, because the earth rewards the efforts with hatred and ingratitude. Such souls do not have friends, they are solitary. And in this solitude, they gain strength. They draw their strength from God alone. With humility, but also with courage, they stand firmly in the face of all the storms that beat upon them. Like high towering oaks, they are unmoved. And in this, there is just this one secret, that it's from God that they draw their strength. And everything, whatsoever they have need of, they have for themselves and for others. The grace of God, the only trust. They do not only carry their own burden, but also know how to take on and are capable of taking on the burdens of others. They are pillars of light along God's ways. They live in light themselves and shed light upon others. They themselves live on the heights and know how to show the way to lesser ones and help them attain those heights. My Jesus, you see that I do not know how to write well, and on top of that, I don't even have a good pen. And often, it scratches so badly that I must put sentences together, letter by letter. That's not all. I also have the difficulty of keeping secret from the sisters the things I write down. And so I often have to shut my notebook every few minutes and listen patiently to someone's story. So someone comes, close the book. They might not understand, no? So many times, open and so hard, eh? Too hard to find the words and to write, and too hard to write continuously. And then the time set aside for writing is gone. And when I shut the notebook, suddenly the ink smears. I write with the permission of my superiors and at the command of my confessor. It's a strange thing. Sometimes the writing goes quite well. but other times I had hardly written it myself. So much so thick we spoke. It's minute by minute. It's hardworking. She is not a fluent writer. Oh no. December 23rd, 1936. I'm spending this time with the Mother of God and preparing myself for the solemn moment of the coming of the Lord Jesus. The Mother of God is instructing me in the interior life of the soul with Jesus, especially the Holy Communion. It's only in eternity that we shall know the great mystery effected in us by the Holy Communion, O most precious moment of my life, time of communion. We just go and come. It seems nothing affects us, but you take so much preparation for communion, Holy Communion. O my Creator, I long for you. You understand me, O Lord of mine. All that is on earth seems to me like a pale shadow. It is you I long for and desire. Although you do not inconceivably much of me, for you yourself visit me in a special way, yet those visits do not soothe the wounds of the heart, but make the long all the more. But make me long all the more for you, O Lord. Oh, take me to yourself, Lord, if such is your will. You know that I'm dying, and I'm dying of longing for you, and yet I cannot die. Death, where are you? You draw me into the abyss of your divinity, and you veil yourselves with darkness. My whole being is immersed in you, yet I desire to see you face to face. When will this come about for me? She surely to see God, not that someone want to like to die because so much suffering on earth. So die first, die earlier. It's not this way. Eh? Don't yearn for death because you're in problem. She's yearning for God because you want to close the door to Jesus, not to get rid of your problem. Sister Chrysostom came to visit me today. She brought some lemons and apples and a tiny Christmas tree. I was delighted with them. Through Sister Chrysostom, Mother Superior asked the doctor to let me come home for Christmas. And he readily agreed. I was very happy and burst into tears like a little child. Sister Chrysostom was surprised that I looked so bad and had changed so much. And she told me, you know, little Faustina, probably you will die. You must be suffering a great deal, sister. She looked awful. I answered that I was suffering more that day than on other days, but that it was nothing, and that for the salvation of souls, it was not too much. O merciful Jesus, give me the souls of sinners. She suffered not for herself, for sinners, all the time. She looked sick, but she's not sick. Healthy, the heart for the Lord. December 24, 1936. During Holy Mass today, I was united in a particular way with God and His Immaculate Mother. The humility and love of the Immaculate Virgin penetrated my soul. The more I imitate the Mother of God, the more deeply I get to know God. Oh, what infinite longing envelops my soul, Jesus. Oh, how infinite longing envelops my soul. Jesus, how can you still leave me in this exile? I'm dying of longing for you. Every touch of my soul by you wounds me immensely. Love and suffering go together. Yet I will not exchange this pain caused by you for any treasure, because it is the pain of incomprehensible delights, and these wounds of the soul are inflicted by a loving hand. So take everything from Jesus as love Jesus. We too, physical or spiritual or psychological pain, thank you, Jesus, that you have been one more close, hearts close to Jesus. Whenever in this moment, try to remember our dear Sister Faustina, let her teach us how to love pain. Sister C, it's anonymous, came in the afternoon and took me home for the holidays. I was happy to be reunited with the community. As we were riding through the city, Krakow, I imagined it was the town of Bethlehem. As I watched all those people hearing about, I thought, who is meditating today in recollection and silence on this inconceivable mystery? O pure Virgin, you are traveling today, and so am I. I feel that today's journey has its symbolism, a symbolism. O radiant Virgin, pure as crystal, all immersed in God, I offer you my spiritual life. Arrange everything that it may be pleasing to your Son. O my Mother, how ardently I decide that you give me the infant Jesus during the midnight Mass. And I felt such a living presence of God in the depths of my soul. It was only by sheer willpower that I restrained my joy in order not to show outwardly what was going on in my soul. I think this wasn't her first experience. There might be she experienced before the Mother of God gave her the baby Jesus. Before the vigil supper, I entered the chapel for a moment to break the wafer spiritually with those dear to my heart. That means communion, spiritual communion. I presented them all by name to Jesus and begged for graces on their behalf. But it wasn't all. I commented to the Lord all those who are being persecuted, those who are suffering, those who do not know his name, and especially poor sinners. O little Jesus, I fervently ask you, enclose them all in the ocean of your incomprehensible mercy. O sweet little Jesus, here is my heart. Let it be a little cozy dwelling place for yourself. O infinite majesty, with what sweetness you drew close to us. Here, there is no dread of the thunderbolts of great. Jehovah, here, there is a sweet little Jesus. Here, no soul is afraid, although your majesty has not lessened, but only concealed itself. After supper, I felt very tired and was in pain. I had to lie down, but I kept vigil with the Holy Mother of God, awaiting the arrival of the little child. December 25th, 1936. Midnight Mass. During Mass, God's presence pierced me through and through. A moment before the elevation, I saw the Mother of God and the infant Jesus and a good old man, St. Joseph. The Most Holy Mother spoke these words to me. My daughter, Faustina, take this most precious treasure. And she gave me the infant Jesus. When I took Jesus in my arms, my soul felt such unspeakable joy that I am unable to describe it. But strange things, after a short while, Jesus became awful, horrible looking, grown up and suffering. And then the vision vanished, and soon it was time to go to Holy Communion. When I received the Lord Jesus in the Holy Communion, my soul trembled under the influence of God's presence. The next day, I saw the divine infant for a brief moment during the elevation. On the second day of the feast, Father Andres came to celebrate Mass for us And during Mass, I again saw the little Jesus. In the afternoon, I went to confession. Father did not give any answer to some of my questions that concerned this work. He said, "When you recover, we shall talk about it in concrete terms. And now, try to recover completely. As for the rest, you know what guidance to follow and what direction to take in these matters." As penance, Father told me to say the chaplet that Jesus had taught me, the chaplet Divine Mercy, as a penance. While I was saying the chaplet, I heard a voice which said, "Oh, how great graces I will grant to souls who say this chaplet. The very depths of my tender mercy are stirred for the sake of those who say the chaplet. Write down these words, my daughter. Speak to the world about my mercy. Let all mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy. It is a sign for the end times." The sign, the picture. "After it will come the day of justice. While there is still time, let them have recourse to the font of my mercy. Let them profit from the blood and water which gushes for them. O human souls, where are you going to hide on the day of God's anger? Take refuge now in the font of God's mercy. Oh, what a great multitude of souls I see. They worship the Divine Mercy and will be singing the hymn of praise for all eternity." December 27. Today I returned to my place of solitude. That means a private room at the sanatorium. I had a pleasant trip as I traveled with a certain person who was taking her baby to be baptized. She gave her a lift, or we gave her a lift as far as the church in Podgorica. In order to get out, she put the baby in my arms. When I took it, I offered it with an ardent prayer to God, so that someday it might give him special glory. I felt in my soul that the Lord was looking in a special way on the little soul. When we arrived on Patnik, Sister Anne helped me to carry my bundle. When we entered my room, we saw a beautiful paper angel with the inscription, "Glory In." I think it is from the sick sister to whom I sent the Christmas tree. And so, the holidays are over. Nothing can still the yearning of my soul. I long for you, O my Creator and Eternal God. Neither celebrations nor beautiful hymns soothe my soul. Rather, they make me yearn all the more. At the very mention of your name, my spirit springs towards you, O God. December 28, 1936. Today I have started the winner to the Divine Mercy. That is, I place myself in the spiritual before the image and recite the chaplet which the Lord has taught me. On the second day of the Novena, I saw the image, as it were, come alive, adorned with numberless votive lamps, and I saw great crowds of people coming there, and many of them were filled with happiness. O Jesus, with what great joy did my heart beat. I'm making the Novena for the intention of two people, namely the Archbishop and Father Sopoco. I'm earnestly asking the Lord to inspire the Archbishop to approve the chaplet, which is so pleasing to God, and also the image, that he may not put off or deny this work. Because it very originally presented this image to the Archbishop, for approval. They may think it's too many image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You know, you have already said Margarita to the cock, already, you know, the Sacred Heart, the fire. So how can you come another? It seems it's too much. Today the Lord's gaze shot through me suddenly, like lightning. At once I came to know the tiniest specks of in my soul, and knowing the depths of my misery, I fell to my knees and begged the Lord's pardon, and with quick trust I immersed myself in His infinite mercy. Such knowledge does not depress me, nor keeps me away from the Lord, but rather it arouses in my soul greater love and boundless trust. The repentance of my heart is linked to love. These extraordinary flashes from the Lord educate my soul. O sweet ways of God, enlighten me to the most secret depth, for I want to arrive at the greatest possible purity of heart and soul. The last phrase. In the evening, a great longing took possession of my soul. I took the pamphlet with the image of the merciful Jesus on it and pressed it to my heart. And following words burst forth from my soul. Jesus, eternal love, I live for you. I die for you. I want to become united with you. Suddenly, I saw the Lord in His inexpressible beauty. He looked at me graciously and said, "My daughter, I too came down from heaven out of love for you. I lived for you. I died for you. And I created the heavens for you." And Jesus pressed me to His heart and said to me, "Very soon now, be at peace, my daughter." When I was alone, my soul was set afire with the desire to suffer until the moment when the Lord would say, "Enough." And even if I were to live for thousands of years, I see the light of God in that this but one moment. Now, the word of Jesus for sinners, for us, each one of us here. "My daughter, I too came down from heaven out of love for you. I lived for you. I died for you. I created the heavens for you." Not only for Faustina, for each one of us. Do you believe? Yes. We need a special trust. It's not always. Surrounding things doesn't help you much, that there is a love of God for you. You always complain. Things are not so as good as you want to be. You thought, "God, where are you?" Isn't it? Many times you ask, "Lord, where are you?" Of course, He's in the Blessed Sacrament. Do we believe that Jesus came down from heaven for us, lived for us, died for us, and create the heavens for us? All things created, sky, trees, flowers, earth, water, for us, all from the love of God for us. We have to learn from our little sister Faustina with this simple faith. Yes, Jesus taught her, you know, not she meant it. We hope that we don't have the relics of Faustina for the moment, but it seems she is present, right?
She's a secretary, general secretary of the Divine Mercy, no? Only on earth is in heaven. Jesus promised that she be the secretary. So we have the heart for Divine Mercy. I'm sure for sinner praying heart. Although she couldn't suffer now, but she really looked at us one by one, embrace each one of us. Please come closer to Jesus. I think she's yearning for this. So open your hearts.